Now we'll have further analysis and reaction from individuals, families and businesses to the measures announced in the 11 billion euro budget day package, and we'll speak to Taoiseach and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment Leo Varadkar. First, a mother of two children in a one-parent family. Linda O'Sullivan told Cian McCormack the budget was good, but not good enough.
So there's a lot of stuff that was announced today that is positive, but in reality, come January, when the one-off payments and the double payments are made, we've no idea what January might look like for people, and we might be back to the drawing board again, which is a bit of a concern. My provider, I used to pay level pay, which is basically, you know, the same amount every month. It used to be 84 euro. It moved to 94 euro. And the direct debit that went out last week for gas alone was 152. And that's how much I'm going to pay every month now throughout the winter, which is a huge increase as to what I was paying before. That's just kind of, I suppose, the tip of the iceberg of what people are dealing with. You're seeing it in supermarkets. You're seeing it with electricity. I am happy with some of what's been announced today. Could they have done more? Yes, I will say that every year. But come January, I think the shiny examples of the one-off payments, people will realise then what this actual budget gave. And in terms of the stark reality of the cost of living crisis, like, we could be looking at inflation increasing even more. And what position will we be in by then? We're going to need more come January. So it's good, but it's probably not good enough.
And that was Linda O'Sullivan talking to Cian McCormack. Leo Varadkar, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And that point being made by Linda O'Sullivan there is, you know, glad to get the additional benefits, but what happens about those one-off payments when they're spent, when January comes around? And mm-hmm. That's the worry for an awful lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's, that was a qualified welcome from Linda, but a very fair point. Ultimately, this budget is about helping people with the cost of living, reducing the amount of tax you pay, increasing welfare payments and pensions, putting more money in people's pockets, and reducing some costs that are very high in Ireland, like childcare or public transport or the cost of putting a kid through college, and also very much about helping businesses with energy costs as well, so that they can keep their staff. The way it works is that the one-off payments pretty much fall between now and Christmas. The energy discounts are before and after Christmas, and then the increases in the weekly rates happen in the new year. So essentially we're front loading the budget. People are getting more up front, but you then see permanent increases in payments, pensions, welfare, and permanent decreases in income tax in the new year. But we will have to see where we are in January, February. You know, it is possible that we'll see gas prices and electricity prices falling by then.
It is possible we won't.
Right, exactly. And that's why
we will. And as Linda says, when the money is gone and the credit is eaten up and it's gone. And what are you going to do then? Is there more money in the tank?
Well, the way it works is all the one-off payments happen before Christmas, and the increases in the weekly payments start in the new year. So it's not that nothing happens in the new year. Actually, there will be the energy credit and there will be increases in welfare payments. But if prices continue to rise, we will have to look at it again in the new year. And that's why we've put money in the tank. We've set aside 2 billion voted into the reserve fund late last night. And we have other contingency funds as well. So, you know, yes, we will have to look at the situation come January, February, see where we are in terms of the public finances, what the economy is looking like, and particularly what prices are looking like. And that is the approach that we'll take. Mm.
You'll be Taoiseach by then. And when you say you will have to look at it again, how might you look at it? Could you introduce another round of credits or one-off measures? Or could you envisage a mini-budget?
We don't envisage a mini budget, but people have seen throughout the course of the year that's gone by, a year that's been very unpredictable between COVID and the war in Ukraine and the energy crisis, that we have responded dynamically. So, you know, we had the budget measures that kicked in last January. We did a series of things that were done during the spring, like the energy credits and the one-off fuel allowance payment. We had in the summer the help with back to school and the changes to the student grant. We now have these one-off payments arriving the next few weeks and the more permanent increases in the new year. So it has been a dynamic response to an unpredictable and rapidly unfolding situation.
And that will continue. You know, we've a budget just barely 24 hours old, and we're already talking about what you might have to do again in January. And it sounds from what you're saying, Taoiseach, that you have the building blocks already in place for that, and you're envisaging with, between inflation and energy crises continuing, that you will be introducing further measures then?
Only if we have to. And one thing that...
But you're ready to go with it.
Well, that is the purpose of setting aside money in the reserve.
That's the $2 billion you're talking about, that's gone into this rainy day fund.
That's right.
Is that the amount you would have, or would there be more?
There's also more factored into the budget. There's a projected surplus for this year and next year, and Minister McGrath has set aside contingency funds for Ukraine and for COVID. So we do have some financial firepower to intervene again to help people in the new year, if we have to. And we may not have to. Like, one of the things we expect will change between now and then is this inframarginal pricing system in Europe to reduce change the way electricity is costed. That might help if the world is heading into a downturn, and it seems it is. Gas prices could fall, so you know it is a prudent approach. We're helping people most now when they need it. There is more help in the new year with the energy credits and the tax reductions and increases in weekly welfare payments, but we have set aside some money in reserve in the tank in case we need to intervene to help again.
Well, let's stay with the budget that is just 24 hours old, and negotiations on the welfare package, it seems, continued on into Monday night. What was the rationale behind landing on a 12 euro increase in the core state pension and social welfare payments when you know that it doesn't keep pace with cost of living increases? And there are reports that you and Heather Humphreys were both pressing for more, pressing for 15 euro.
Well, the rationale in the end was to front load the payments, to give people more now in the run into the winter when we believe they need it most. If you think about, if we did increase welfare by, let's say, 20 euros a week, or pensions by 20 euros a week, roughly 50 weeks in the year, that's 1,000 euros. What we did is increase it by 12, roughly 50 weeks in the year, that's 600 euros. But when you add to that 600 euros, the 600 energy credit, the 250 one-off welfare payment, the additional fuel allowance payments, all of those things, it's actually well over 1,000. So what we've done is more than 20 euros.
And were you
week.
Pressing with Heather Humphreys for 15 euro?
There were negotiations underway, and it wouldn't be right for me to divulge what were private conversations.
Did you feel that would have been fairer, though, that it would have given people, and that would be the core payment that would continue on for people?
Anything in the budget has to be part of a mix. You know, I guarantee you, I was in the front line looking for a good tax package for middle-income people as well. I was very much in favour of what's being done around childcare. You know, so the truth is, all ministers and all parties go into negotiations with their priorities, and in the end, you come up with a compromise. And that's because there only is so much money to go around. It's not that anyone doesn't want to increase welfare more or wouldn't like to put more money into education. It's that you have to make the numbers add up in the end, and I think we came up with a good compromise.
Okay, let's talk some more about energy, because the opposition, particularly Sinn Féin, would say you should have gone for an electricity price cap as opposed to the credits up to 600 that you've opted for. Why have you set your faces so consistently against a price cap?
It's something we'd be very nervous about doing. Some countries have brought in energy caps, but they're actually quite limited caps. You know, they're giving you a certain number of units at a certain rate, but it's a cap with a cap, if that makes any sense. What's being done in Britain, what's being proposed by Sinn Féin here in Ireland.
And what about countries like Germany and France and a string of countries now that Sinn Féin is talking about?
Well, France is a particular case because they largely use nuclear power and the government owns their nuclear power plants, so that's a very different situation. What they have done in the Netherlands, for example, is a cap to a point, but what's being proposed in the UK and being proposed by Sinn Féin here is you set a cap on the price of energy and the government pays the amount above that, no matter what it is.
Is it something, though, that maybe the government would revisit?
I, in a crisis like this, and having had the experience of leading the country out of austerity through Brexit and through the pandemic, I'm always afraid to rule anything out because you just never know what's coming down the line. But our nervousness and our concern about that is that it is essentially a contract for difference. It is the thing that brought down Anglo-Irish Bank. It sounds a bit like a bank guarantee. It's impossible to cost. You know, if you're actually going to say to the energy companies, to the markets, to the people who produce gas and oil who aren't in Ireland, that we will pay anything above this price, you're kind of setting yourself up to have a very big financial liability that you can't cost, and that's that's risky, maybe too risky in my view.
But you are coming back there to giving something the opposition has said is lacking in parts of this budget, which is certainty to people. That would give certainty to households and to business.
Yeah, I think Pascal Donoghue answered that question very well last night on Primetime, and he said you can't give people certainty if you don't know what the measure you're introducing is going to cost, and you don't know whether you can afford it or not. So it might appear like certainty in a few weeks' time could turn out to be something very different. And we see the reaction in the UK at the moment, where they have a largely debt-funded tax package and a unlimited price cap. And what's happened, it's the financial markets, the bond markets, have taken a very dim view, and as a result of that, now the Bank of England is putting up interest rates, and that's making people worse off. So I think any time you try to give people certainty by saying we'll write you a blank check no matter what, that's fake certainty, because you don't know if you can honour that check.
We'll talk a little bit more about the UK in a moment, maybe in the context of difficulties for exporters from this country into the UK markets. But let's move on to the supports for business, and look first at the hospitality sector, which is one of the sectors, of course, that was very hard hit by COVID and now by the energy crisis. Claire Dowling is the owner and head chef of Tiller and Grain Cafe Restaurant on Frederick Street in Dublin, and she was watching the budget for energy and VAT costs for her business. We spoke to her yesterday, and today she remains disappointed. The VAT rate will move from 9% to 13.5% in February.
I think I will still have a difficult time managing my business. I think if you look at the numbers, and I know they're trying to help, but if you look at the electricity numbers, and it's 40% the difference, but if my electricity has tripled, 40% of the difference, it still means I'm paying like over double, realistically, if the price increase goes ahead, as everyone has talked about, you know. And I will say, and I probably don't speak alone when I say, we're very disappointed in the 13.5%. You know, it will be a challenge. And I think it will be putting people and families who are relying on this industry under huge pressure yet again. And I think that's difficult.
Tánaiste, do you want to answer that point there that's been outlined by Claire Dowling? The 9% enjoyed by the hospitality sector runs out in about 4 months' time, and they feel the pressure.
Yeah, and they're under a lot of pressure. And, you know, the hospitality sector in particular, having just come out of closures related to the pandemic, are now facing what is going to be a very difficult winter. We're trying to help business in two particular ways. One is with the energy costs, and that's a subsidy of up to €10,000 per month per business. And that will help cushion the blow of increased energy costs. And also the broader budget, which puts money back in people's pockets and gives them the confidence that they can spend in our restaurants and cafes.
But just answer specifically maybe on that measure and the decision that's been taken to end the 9%.
Yeah, so the decision taken in the budget is to extend the 9% VAT rate until the end of February. And it will then go back up in March.
Would you not consider keeping it going given the pressures they're under?
I think that depends on how the situation emerges. What we've done with a number of measures, including the energy support for businesses, that also runs until the end of February. Potentially that might have to be extended if the situation doesn't improve. But, you know, as of now, we're saying to people that this new energy scheme to help businesses will be in place at least until the end of February.
And it's called the TBESS, the Temporary Business Energy Support Scheme. Will you tell us a little bit more about it, though, and maybe some of the specifics? Are they worked out? How will they apply? And when will they get the money?
Okay, so the way it works is that if your electricity cost per unit has gone up by more than 50% since this time last year, you qualify. That's pretty much every business in the country is going to qualify, unless you're locked into a very low rate, and you're very lucky if you are, but most businesses aren't. And what we'll do then is pay 40% of the difference, up to a maximum of 10,000 per business per
month. Even businesses that are turning over, some of them eye-watering profits.
In some cases, profitable businesses will qualify. We don't want to stop businesses making a profit. The purpose of putting in place this energy subsidy is to enable businesses to keep their staff on. It's not just about protecting business, it's about protecting the people who work in those businesses. And there are some businesses that, in order to maintain their profits, would be thinking about laying off staff, reducing hours, even closing some days per week. Some do that at the moment because of a shortage of labour, but others may have to do it because of energy costs. So it's designed really to help all businesses, and protection of employment being particularly at the front of our minds.
You mentioned the taxation package a few moments ago, and you wanted, and you talked pre-budget about a 30% tax rate. You didn't get it. But will it be a priority for you as Taoiseach?
What I asked was for Minister Donoghue to do an analysis on it. That was done. The Revenue Commissioners say it can be done, would benefit a million people a year, the same people who benefit from the increase in the standard rate cut-off point, and it could be done, but not before 2024. But the fundamental point behind all of this for me is what we looked for in the last election, is that we don't think that people earning less than 50,000 should pay the highest tax rate. We don't think that's fair. A middle-income person gets a pay rise, gets an increment, loses half of that in income tax, USC and PRSI. So there are two ways to get to that 50,000. You can either do it by middle rate, or you can do it by widening the bands. I actually don't mind which way you do it. In this budget, we've now got to 40,000. That's a big step forward from where we were. And for a lot of people on middle incomes, it's going to be worth 800 euros a year, 1,600 for a couple. It's going to help.
And for those earning under 35,000, they gain the figure put to me by Sinn Féin earlier, I think about 190 euro. That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, you see, you can zero in on any aspect of the budget and say it's unfair. A lot of people in Ireland who are working don't pay any income tax at all. And that's a good thing. We've taken them out of the income tax net already. So, you know, of course you can't help them with income tax reductions. You can help middle-income people with income tax reductions. You can help people on social welfare or on pensions by increasing welfare and pensions. And particularly for that group who don't qualify for welfare payments but don't pay a large amount of income tax, you can best help them by reducing the cost of living. And that's why we did what we did with the rent credit, with childcare, with college fees, with public transport. And you have to take the budget in the round. And if you do, and this isn't my opinion, this is the independent analysis done by the Department of Finance, you see a very progressive budget. Those on the lowest incomes gaining the most, those on the highest incomes gaining the least.
All right, Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, thank you for your time this morning.